Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and I don't care what anybody says, I think it's cold. It's 62 degrees. You know me. Next stop, Tampa or Tel Aviv? I don't want the temperature ever going below 70. I'm sorry. Said the guy who's sitting here, I kid you not, in a t-shirt and gym shorts. Oh, what a nitwit I am. Do you want to see a great photo of a beautiful young lady in a pumpkin patch? Yeah, you do. So I would urge you, go on Facebook right now, look for Radio Katz, R-A-D-I-O-K-A-T-Z, Radio Katz on Facebook. I am slightly biased because this is a photo of my princess, Julia, and she was, she was a little pipsqueak at the time, but it's a great photo, and it's a photo in a pumpkin patch, a whole bunch of pumpkins, and there's Julia, she's sitting in her wheelchair, and Heidi had it in rotation. We have like a television that's sort of like a screen saver mode, and Heidi, because she's Heidi, it's seasonal. She does a lot of work. It really does. And so right now we're in the entire fall season. And this is one of the photos that came up. And I said, oh, can you send that to? Oh, of course I can. Absolutely. And I said, well, I want to share it on Facebook because it's a great photo. And I put it up and I'm just going to share with you. I looked at it and I started crying. I know, but I did. I started crying because I thought, wow, this is a beautiful photo because Heidi took it. Heidi is like a world-class photographer. And the photo is great, and the composition is great, and the colors are great, and there's, it's just fantastic. But I'm looking at it, and here's this tiny little kid has never done anything bad to anybody, right? Never. There's not an evil thought in the girl's mind. And she's sitting in this wheelchair. She's strapped in because, well, Julia doesn't know, right? Julia wouldn't know, hey, you're in your wheelchair. Don't go jumping out. Don't go leaning over, right? She doesn't know. And the other thing that struck me as I'm looking at her, and now I personally happen to think that she is beautiful. But I'm looking at it, and the other thing that hit me is that freaking wheelchair. You ever have one of those moments where you think, man, I wish I didn't know how to do that. I wish to this day that I did not know how to assemble and disassemble a wheelchair for a child. It is one of those skills. I would give up that skill for anything. It is not the skill that I was ever hoping to have. But anyway, it is a good photo. I think it, I don't want you to cry like I did, but it's just a nice photo. It's just a nice, hey, we're in the fall time. We got 2 weeks or so till Halloween. We got Thanksgiving coming up. Hanukkah and Christmas are on the way. And I don't know this year if Hanukkah's first or Christmas is first. You know, we work on a different calendar. We got that whole lunar calendar going on. So that's why when we were observing the one-year anniversary of October 7th, I had people reaching out to me going, wait a minute, didn't you tell me about something? You guys were celebrating some holiday last year when this all happened, so that's this holiday now? No, that holiday is not actually happening for another 3 weeks. It's very difficult to explain. But I think the photo that's up there, you'll appreciate. And let me know if you agree with me that Heidi is just an absolutely world-class photographer. She won't believe me. I'm looking at our Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804. 1140. When I talk about Chronic Care of Richmond, obviously talking about Janine Snyder, Brian Snyder, the whole gang, they're great people. And they've been bringing Politics and Pints to us for the last couple Politics and Pints, right? Big time title sponsor. They make sure we've got our text line available to us. It's always great stuff on the text line. Here's a question. Harold in Short Pump says, hey, Jeff, I had a great time at Politics and Pints last night. I have a question for you, though. Does Howard really believe the things that he says? He seems sincere, but he also seems to be of at least average intelligence, in which case he couldn't possibly be so wrong about basic truths. Well, you would be surprised. You would be surprised at how some people can, in fact, be at least average intelligence, as you say, and yet be so wrong about so many things. I've said this about Howard. Number one, Howard is he's a good sport, right? He comes out, and you have to understand, there's a showmanship thing to what we do at Politics and Pints. It's professional wrestling. Everybody's got a part. And Howard's part, he's the result of our internal WRVA DEI policy, right? We have a liberal. And thank God it's Howard. Because, A, nobody listens to what he has to say, and they know that whatever he's saying is going to be wrong and crazy. But he's also a nice guy. That's what I like about Howard. So does he really believe what he says? Great question. I don't know. I'm with you. Seriously, Harold, in a Short Pump, I'm with you. I don't know if he really believes what he says. Because I don't understand how you could. I don't understand how you could say the things he says and still, well, be living here on planet Earth. I had the pleasure of reminding Howard last night that the last time we did this Politics and Pints thing, he was defending his dear friend Joe Biden. Oh, God, it's disgusting. It's like, look, why don't you two guys get a room and let us know later how it's all working out for you. But it was just crazy. And his ultimate defense of Joe Biden at the last Politics and Pints, anybody else remember this? He said, well, Biden's always been an idiot. I thought, well, there you go. I don't know that I'm hiring Howard to do the eulogy. You know what I mean? Like, well, we're all gathered here to mourn the passing of this guy who, as we all know, has always been an idiot. But there you have it. Jeff, 757, says on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, I hope you understand once evil gets to hell, they believe then. But it's a little bit too late. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. 804 says, Jeff, you may want to try and listen to the Dersh Show, Alan Dershowitz's podcast. It's not political per se, but deals with current issues. And he's the old style liberal that was reasonable and logical. And with court cases, he knows his stuff more than talking head hacks. Yes, that's why Alan comes on this program. And you're right. The Dersh Show is actually pretty good. It's Alan sitting around Alan, like I'm buddies. Although I do text back and forth with him. And every time I'm texting with him, I make a point to tell Heidi, oh, I don't know what we're doing right now, but I'm busy. See, I'm texting with Professor Dershowitz. All right, I got it. I got it. Very good. But yeah, I'm telling you what, I love texting with these brilliant. Let's see. In reference to Bret Baier's interview last night, I found it revealing that Kamala Harris unanswered all of Bret's questions, yet she stated that the reason for her 3.5 years of non-productivity was because of President Trump. Well, my take on that is, if he is that powerful over your entire staff and the entire Democrat Party, they might as well be president because he already has the power. That's Mark and Midlothian. That's a good point. Wow. Let me see here, Jeff. You were so right about the couple of months post-election. Remember what damage Biden did on his first day in office? So just think of him with unbridled power to secure his legacy with the left. Scary knowing his instability. That's Mike in 757. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think it's absolutely true. Jeff, Howard might be a good guy, but he is a total hypocrite. He has never, ever challenged or been critical of his side. Well, that's true. You have integrity and will call out your side. Howard does not. That's Dave. Huh. That's a good point. You know, that is a good point. I don't think I've ever heard Howard question anybody on his side of the aisle. Now, that may be because, you know, Howard's a swamp dweller. That's where he made his money. Howard is inside the Beltway to the max. That's what he did. That's what he does. But again, I got to tell you, just on a personal basis, I like the guy. I really do. I like him a lot. 434 says, Jeff, looked at the picture of Julia. Of course she's beautiful. Just as you and Heidi are the greatest of caretakers. God bless you, Graham. Graham, thank you very much. I don't know. Well, Heidi is. I'm not sure about me being the greatest of caretakers, but I'm doing the best I can. And some days that's better than others, right? 414, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, yeah. Anybody want to explain to me what's going on, like, out at Langley? I'm going to ask Rob Whitman about this, Congressman Rob Whitman, in a couple of moments. He'll be here at 4:35. What, like a whole bunch of drones or planes or something circling and flying all over Langley in Northern Virginia? And I have no confidence. I'm going to tell you right now, I have exactly no confidence in this administration doing a damn thing about it. Right? How long do we have the Chinese balloon flying across America? Like it was on a freaking vacation, taking its time, stopping here, went to see the biggest ball of twine, whatever it was. China's on tour. And everything was fine. It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. So maybe Congressman Rob Whitman will have a little insight on that. I want you to take a listen to cut number five. This was probably the singularly best exchange between Kamala Harris and Bret Baier last night on Fox News. Cut number five.
Frankly, exhausted of Bret.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on. Madam Vice President. You and I both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade, people have become. But listen. Over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me.
What's clear to you? I don't think there's anything on God's green earth that's clear to you. There's not a flippin' thing that you've ever said that's clear to me. But other than that, you seem like a lovely lady. I still come back to this idea. She is either drunk, stoned, or stupid. I don't like any of the options, by the way. I really don't. None of them inspire any sort of confidence. But everybody keeps saying, Jeff, you need an option number four. You need option D, all of the above. People convinced that she started with stupid and then ingested substances to make herself drunk and high. God, I hope that's not true. I really do. I would really, really, really like to think that somehow, some way, I just don't understand what it is that she is saying. What it is that I need to know that, you know, she knows. And I'm telling you, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I'm here with my senior executive producer, Pixie, an 11-pound chihuahua with three teeth, and I'm still not the smartest guy in the room. But even I can see that she's not up to the job. I'll tell you who is, though. Congressman Rob Whitman. He'll be with us at 4:35. 4:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. Lots of great stuff going on. And we're all sort of coming down off our big politics and pints event last night, and I don't want to just belabor the point, but I know there's some people going, well, Jeff, I didn't go. Well, you should go. No, seriously, honest to goodness, next time, make sure that you go to politics and pints. That's all. Not quite sure where it's going to be, but it is always worth attending. We're, what, 19 days out from the election? The Democrats, Kamala Harris, man, just every time she opens her mouth, there are more people that are left scratching their head saying, I have no idea what she's talking about. And that's okay. That's fair, because she doesn't know what she's talking about. But I think you and I agree. We've got a country to save. And there are some good folks running. Obviously, I think most of us who are part of this program are on board with President Trump. But I mean locally.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got some great members of Congress. We've got to step up to the plate. We got to make sure that they are returned to the House. One of them happens to be Rob Whitman, does an amazing job of representing our first congressional district in our beloved Commonwealth. Rob, I appreciate you being here, sir.
Jeff, it's great to be back with you. And you're right. The events like Politics and Pints is a good place to be able to have a little bit of banter and a little bit of great beverage. So.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we were trying to convince some of the other folks that were coming. We start with politics. Other people were like, we should start with the pints. It's like, man, you never get to the politics, then, right?
That's right, yeah.
It would just go all right off the tracks. I got to ask you right off the bat, Rob, and I know you got a lot of stuff we're going to cover, but what exactly is going on around Langley in Northern Virginia? Are these drones? Is China up to something? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I went there right after that occurred. It was actually last December, Jeff, and it was for an extended period of time, much longer than it should have been, to get a brief from the base commander, to get a brief from the Northern Command, which is responsible for protecting our key military installations. And I have to say, I was bitterly disappointed by a lack of decision-making, and I think the base commander did everything that he could. But there was indecision by folks above him on what needed to be done. And a lot of it's classified, but I can tell you, and they said, well, hobbyists or, you know, potentially somebody else. Listen, the level of this happening, to me, precludes a hobbyist. Remember, if you go to the store and you buy a drone, those drones are pre-programmed not to be able to fly into that airspace. Now, listen, you can hack them and have them not fly, but I can tell you one thing, everything there, and again, you know, just from the non-classified side, everything there would lead one to look at it and go, there's more to this than what maybe some are alleging. And I can tell you, I've been out to NORTHCOM and to the Air Force and to the base command there at Langley in the classified space to get the briefing there, and it is hair-raising as to what happened then. And then the lack of immediate response. Because I think whoever is doing this, you know, isn't necessarily doing it for effect. They're doing it to probe and figure out what is the reaction of the United States military on a critical base where you have critical operations. So all of those things are there. You know, I can't share a whole lot more than that. But I will say this to everybody that, you know, sans the classified side of things, all the things that I heard concerned me deeply. And what concerned me the most was the lack of an immediate action on this and a hesitancy that I think just sends a signal of weakness. And that's not what we need to be doing now.
Well, Rob, I mean, all we have to go back to, and again, I know part of this is classified, and I'm not asking you to get into that, but we watch this balloon. This hot air balloon meander its way across America over military bases, every state. At first, the White House was like, it was like Alfred E. Newman, balloon. What balloon? I don't know about a balloon. You know, where? What are you talking about? It just seems like China is emboldened by the weakness we see from the White House.
Yeah, it is. And the lack of action there. Remember, a lot of these things, I think, you know, China is very, very focused on what they're doing. There's none of this stuff is just haphazard. These things are very specific about what they hope to learn from this. And their learning curve is what is the United States reaction? And we had an opportunity, first of all, to sense this balloon very early on. We had an opportunity to take it out well before it reached any of these critical facilities that it flew over in the United States. And why we didn't do that is questioning to me. And for someone to say, oh, we wanted to let it fly over so we could learn something, I'm like, let me tell you, the Chinese learned a whole lot more on what they were able to look at, more than we would ever learn with what they're doing. And then we let it go all the way across the United States until it got off the Atlantic coast before we shot it down. It's just counterintuitive, Jeff, that that is not a signal of strength to the Chinese. It's a signal of weakness. It's a signal of, oh gosh, we're too uncertain about what we should do to even take action. And let me tell you, I believe that informs them as to what they could potentially do, not in a balloon flying over the United States or in any other circumstance, but it will certainly inform them on what they see as the reaction to an effort to go after Taiwan, and whether it's a blockade or whether it's a cyber attack or whether it's a kinetic attack. You know, China's learning from that. They're watching what's happening in Ukraine. They're watching what the United States does every minute of every day, and it informs their future actions, I believe.
Well, you mentioned Taiwan. You have been, for my money, the number one guy in the House talking about the existential threat coming from China. They're looking for weaknesses. They're probing for weaknesses. Their economy, it seems, is imploding, according to my buddy Dr. Dave Bratt. And they're looking, I think, for a way to kind of take attention away from that. Are we now closer to China trying to grab Taiwan?
Well, you know, what concerns me about that is folks look at it and go, oh, it's good that China is struggling with its economy. It's good that there's this turmoil there. I would argue it's not. Mm-hmm. I would argue it actually makes China a more dangerous nation, because this sort of unrest creates a desperation with Xi, who is all about hanging on to power. Yeah. And if you look at that nation and you look at how the population is aging, if you look at its economy, if you look at the number of individuals there of military age, and as the level of desperation goes up, you know, I think more and more in the mindset of Xi, who is about holding on to power, yep, you know, more and more the effort is to say, well, maybe now's the time for us to distract and have this effort to retake Taiwan, and all of a sudden have a rallying cry for the country. And as your population ages, you're only going to have so much of a window with these large population of military age individuals there that can actually, you know, prosecute this. So I think desperation actually puts the world in a more dangerous place. So I'm not particularly enamored with China being weaker. I think it actually is more dangerous for us when that happens.
Wow. Congressman Rob Whitman is joining us. Rob is, without question, one of the good guys up there in D.C., and God bless him for taking up the mantle and going up there. I have to ask you about the economy, Rob, because, you know, we had the Fed with half a point. They cut it, their interest rate, and all sorts of good things were going to happen. Mortgage rates are up 3 weeks in a row, which would indicate there are people on the sidelines going, oh, you guys do not have this inflation thing under control.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of indicators, Jeff, that it should be concerning to people. Now, the question is, you know, are they repeating themselves? But, you know, some of the economic indicators there show that there are some challenges for the economy. I think the inflationary pressures are still there. And the challenge for the Fed is, you know, if you continue to be aggressive in bringing down interest rates, does that precipitate recessionary pressures? So either of those scenarios are just not good scenarios. And I would argue early on the Fed was way too slow in reacting to what were early indicators of inflationary pressures, and then had to really ramp interest rates up in ways that were probably too much too fast. And now they're trying to find the right mixture of things as they're trying to bring down rates.
Yep.
And another thing, too, that plays into this, and Congress has to be able to address this, and that is the level of debt and deficit. And, you know, the Fiscal Responsibility Act did a little tiny bit to start to bend the spending curve down.
Yep.
But my goodness, we've got a long ways to go. And remember, you know, it's not just getting appropriations bills done. I'd like to get them done before the end of the year. But remember, we have a debt ceiling debate that's going to go on, you know, right around the first of the year. So we have another crescendo of these different issues Congress has to address. All of them affect our economy. So there's a whole lot of different things. I did a town hall recently at the Richmond Federal Reserve, and the director there, Tom, said the number one question he gets traveling around his region is the deficit and the debt. So that does have an impact on our economy also, because when the government has to borrow that much money, it impacts the private economy, period.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. This printing of money, I don't think, is going to work out all that well in the long run. But that's just me. Yeah. I'm not an economist. I got to run, Rob, but I've got to ask you this out question. We know that the new president gets inaugurated on January the 20th. You just mentioned, though, this big debate about the deficit and funding and all the rest of it around the first of the year. When is the new House inaugurated?
Well, the new House is sworn in just after the first of the year, so we'll get to work then. Okay. And of course, right after the election, both parties will meet and they'll go through their leadership election, so we know who the future leader is going to be. But ultimately, when Congress is seated right after the first of the year, you know, the first order of business is to elect the speaker. So I think that's the first charge for us. Hopefully, as we keep the majorities, to get that done and then really get on track about getting this nation back underway. Listen, I am very bullish on President Trump going back into our nation's key leadership role as our president. And I think that he will be no nonsense about the things that he seeks to do to get our economy back on track, to secure the border, to ensure our national security. And he has to have a Congress that's there ready to and willing to work with him. So I'm anxious to have a greater majority in the House and a majority in the Senate. And I think with that, we can really get our nation where it needs to be.
I love it. Well, listen, you know, I think the world of you. I think the world of your team. And I'm looking forward to another two-year term for you. And my fervent hope is that my friend John McGuire joins you in the House. And we've got some reasonable conservatives doing the right thing by America. So I'm hopeful.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate that. I encourage everybody to get out and vote. Would love to have their support. But most importantly, you know, just get out and vote. This is an incredibly important time, and I think if they do that, you know, we'll be, you know, very focused on what we need to get done. That is, you know, the voters sending me back, and I never take that for granted. So I really value people's support, and just want to make sure that they get out and vote.
No doubt about it. Rob, I appreciate you being here. That is Congressman Rob Whitman, represents the 1st District in our beloved Commonwealth. If you are in that 1st District, I'm just telling you, because Rob was my congressman for years, a great guy, a solid guy, a reliable conservative, an intelligent dude who, God bless him, has decided he will fight the fight in D.C. I would have given up, seriously. I don't know if I'd be banging my head against the wall. But Rob's done, and we appreciate it. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:51, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. We got our buddy Dr. Keith Ablow joining us at 5:35. I am curious to know what the good doctor made of the Kamala Harris performance last night. Ah, it was priceless, and it was pathetic all at the same time, which is difficult, you know? You'd like to think that your performance is going to be solid. Not every day is a stellar day. That's just the reality of it, right? And if you talk for a living, which in theory is kind of sort of what politicians do when they're running for office, you're not hitting a home run every single time. It would be nice if you did. If you're a broadcaster, it'd be nice if you hit a home run every single time. It's a little bit easier in the podcast space because if you swing and miss, you just, well, you fix it in post-production. You record it again. It's no biggie. You're doing it live each and every day, whether it's 3 hours or 4 hours. You don't always hit that home run. I get it. So when I tell you, I'm very sensitive to those politicians who maybe have great policies, great ideas, they're great administrators, they're great behind the scenes, but you put them in front of a camera or a microphone, like, nah, not my thing, not my thing. When Kamala Harris sits down with a friendly, supportive interviewer, and she whiffs, that's bad for her. And I think it's okay for the rest of us because we just kind of look at it, listen to it, observe it, and say, okay, well, yeah, she's a loser. She's a total loser. There's just nothing going on there. Sometimes I look at her, I'm thinking she's got like that, like the Homer Simpson little cartoon guy inside her head. She's got no idea what's going on. Which would be okay if she were vice president. Because as vice president, the only job responsibility you have is hanging around so that you're available if the president dies. Other than that, it's a pretty good gig. I wouldn't mind being vice president. I don't want to be president. It's too much work. Vice presidents, great, stand around. Hey, you travel a little bit here. You got an office. You got some stationery. You got a staff that, I don't know, walks around and tells you how great you are or whatever. But there's not a lot to do. But now she says, no, I'm the person for the big job. Okay. Well, that you're going to have to prove to me. And thus far, I will say you have not done that. Not even close. Even last night at Politics and Pints. If you were there, you know what I'm talking about. If you weren't, oh, shame on you. You better be the next Politics and Pints. But you could listen to my friend Howard, right? Howard's a, I like Howard. I like him a lot. But he's full of crap. Now, you can still like people who are full of crap. I realized that a long time ago. You just have to understand who they are and what they are, and you kind of compartmentalize them into that, and then you can deal with it. It's not the end of the world. If you know somebody, as an example, is, a chronic liar, well, you know not to believe them, right? I don't know. I'm not saying Howard's a liar. I'm just saying he's full of crap. Because I'm confused. Does he believe what he's saying? Does he not believe what he's saying? It's bizarre. Tomorrow morning at 6, would you do me a favor? Make sure you're listening to John Reed. And next week, I'm going to tell you, we got Kevin Sorbo coming on. You know, John is the guy behind the Virginia Council. Great organization, man. TheVirginiaCouncil.org. TheVirginiaCouncil.org. And they are doing these great speakers as part of their speaker series. Oh, man, just they are hitting it out of the park. Kevin Sorbo is coming to town. I think it's next week, right? Couple of tickets remain. I don't know if they have any VIP tickets left. So if you're interested, go to thevirginiacouncil.org. But Kevin Sorbo is going to be with us next week. I want to talk a little bit about what it is like to be a conservative in Hollywood. It's got to be difficult. It really does. But somehow he's made it, and he's coming here to the Central Virginia area. I don't know if they talk about the location ahead of time. So I'll just say he's going to be here, and you're definitely, definitely going to want to get your tickets. I think it's going to be great stuff. Great stuff tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Gary Hess does a tremendous job on our news side, right? Gary and Charlie Pyle, Chuck Pyle, call him whatever you want. He's a good, solid reporter. Miss Huffman is doing a wonderful job joining the team as well. So I think we got good people in place. But anyway, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Gary Hess kicks it off with the news, and then it's John Reed for 4 hours. Make sure you're here for all of it. 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.